Welcome to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. This program is designed to teach and educate you about the history and the infallibility of God's holy word. We trust you'll find today's program challenging and encouraging. Your host, Bruce Musselman, combines many years' experience as a pastor, author, and conference speaker. Here now with today's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, welcome to the program today. We've got Bruce Musselman on the phone with us again. And Bruce, welcome to the program again.
Okay, we're getting this thing straight. And so glad to be with you once again. We're starting off with the new year, and I hope that you have a great year. And it may be the year that the Lord Jesus comes back to this earth, and we can fellowship with him. And I hope you have your heart ready, and you can pray that God will touch your heart and have you ready for his return, because I believe it is getting very close. But today we're going to talk about from the book of Revelation. But before I talk, well, I'm going to ask Brother Al Davis, who's pastor of Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and he's a scientist, and he's going to talk about science in the Bible.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and again, for mentioning that, Happy New Year to everybody, and to just encourage people to check out the webpage at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com, and you can listen to some past programs there, and there's a number of other materials there, as well as some of the resources that Bruce mentions from time to time, all at whereisgodsword.com. Bruce got something from archaeology, I guess you could say, today, because I remember hearing in the past, you know, you'll hear that different things in archaeology that for a while they'll say, oh, nothing there in the Bible or something that's, you know, not been found in archaeology, like the Hittites, for instance. They said never existed till the archaeologists turned up the remnants of a whole Hittite civilization. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, there's an account of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, laying siege to Jerusalem. And what makes this really interesting, it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 1, after these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. And drop down here to verse number 9, and it says, "And after this did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, send his servants to Jerusalem, but he himself laid siege against Lachish and all his power with him, unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, and unto all Judah that were at Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith Sennacherib, king of Assyria, whereon do you trust and abide in the siege in Jerusalem?" And so we have these two kings, the king of Judea here, the southern kingdom, Hezekiah, and the king of Assyria, and that's Sennacherib. And they found in an artifact that was purchased in Baghdad in 1919, okay? They purchased what's called the Sennacherib Prism. It was made at about 700 BC in ancient Syria of baked clay. It's about 15 inches tall. It's a prism because it's got several faces. I believe it's got about six faces on it, and it's five or six faces. And it's inscribed with cuneiform script in the Akkadian language. And this Sennacherib prism is very interesting in that it gives a testimony to the siege that Sennacherib laid against Jerusalem. And it's got Sennacherib's name in there, Hezekiah's name in there. And in the inscription, Sennacherib boasts of trapping Hezekiah in Jerusalem like a caged bird. And it's kind of interesting how the political slant, just like in today's politics, everybody slants things to their best interest. And Sennacherib didn't bother to tell the rest of the story, how his whole army was destroyed there by the angel of the Lord. But still, we have a historical artifact here that attests to the truth of the scripture. And Sennacherib put on the story of his assault into the land of Israel in comparison to typical portrayals in the biblical text of this and other events. He includes his victories that are mentioned elsewhere and has claimed to have locked up Hezekiah in Jerusalem like a caged bird. And this is really interesting because this supports the scripture. This is something outside of the Bible that's historically accurate that the archaeologist has turned up, and it lays credence to the reliability of the scripture. We have Hezekiah, we have Sennacherib, king of Assyria, laying siege to Jerusalem during the reign of King Hezekiah. And again, the archaeologist's spade is supporting the biblical text. How about that, Bruce?
Yeah, that's wonderful. And there's many cases of they find in archaeology that supports the Bible.
It's really fascinating when you see this, and in every case, it doesn't go against the Bible, it supports the Bible.
That's right. Well, thank you very much, and that's very interesting. I want to talk today from Revelation chapter, the book of Revelation, and it's chapter, I believe it's 2, and it says in verse 11, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write these things, saith he, which hath the sharp sword with two edges." And, of course, that's the word of God, the two-edged sword. "And I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is." Now, Pergamos, when Babylon fell, the high priest of the Babylonian religion moved their headquarters to this town in Greece called Pergamos. And so the Bible calls it Satan's seat. "And has not denied the faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was thy faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth." So again, it says Satan's seat, and then it emphasizes this is where Satan dwells, and his headquarters were in Pergamos, which was the headquarters of the Babylonian religion. Now, it says this guy named Antipas was God's faithful martyr, and the word Antipas means against all. And you know, if you stand for God's word, and we of course we know where it is, and we honor it, is the authorized King James Bible. And thank God there's millions that do, and there's over 1,000 churches that take a stand and teach their people why. But basically, you're against the world, the flesh, and the devil, because they don't like God's word, and it is being attacked in so many places. And now it says here, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, and to commit fornication." So at that church, why this guy named Balaam, and it was mixing the pagan religions with Christianity, and God was always against that. That's what Balaam did. And not only that did he do that, but he actually committed, caused God's people to be involved in fornication, which God was against also. And to eat things sacrificed to idols. So it was idolatry, fornication that was promoted by this man named Balaam, who was a false prophet. "So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate." And Jesus is speaking here, and he talks about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. But the doctrine of the Nicolaitans means simply to conquer the people. And so you have in religion today, you got a religion where everything is done through a priest or through a church. But you know, we have direct access to the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. And we have direct access to him in God's word. You know, God tells us, Jesus tells us, search the scriptures. Do you read the Bible every day? Do you search the scriptures? Do you study it for yourself? And now they have a denomination that says, no, you should let us tell you what it means. And so this is the doctrine of Nicolaitans. They're actually keeping you away from the Bible and saying you got to go through us and go through our denomination and our church. And so Jesus says he hates this doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Now, the doctrine of Nicolaitans is practiced in another way, and probably there's many ways it is, but in some way it's to put a barrier between the Lord Jesus Christ and each one of us as individuals. You know, when somebody says, this is an unfortunate translation or a better reading is the Greek says, they're putting themselves over the Word of God which people have, the Authorized King James Bible. And I hate that so much because I have studied Greek for years and I've studied textual history for 30 years. I read every single book pro and con on the subject. And to me, when I hear preachers just say this is an unfortunate translation or the Greek says, most of the time, I don't even believe he knows what he's talking about. And it's putting a doubt on the Bible that God's people have. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. Well, what if God's people, where did they hear the voice of Jesus? They heard it in the King James Bible, and millions have heard it in the King James Bible, and even today, the latest polls show that people that read the Bible every single day are reading the Authorized King James Bible more than all the rest of them put together by a large majority. And somebody says, well, the Greek says there's a better reading is. You don't know where they're getting it. There's many corrupt Greek translations. There's many corrupt Greek lexicons that deliberately have changed the meaning of words. And these are put into these Bibles, and many of these Bibles are blasphemy. They'll call Joseph Jesus' father when Jesus corrects Mary for saying that because she was covering up. And there's so many places of blasphemy where Jesus made out to be a sinner, made out to be a liar in many of these places. Now, this is called Nicolaitanism, and Jesus said, he hates the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. We have direct access to the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ because he died and paid for all of our sins, rose from the dead, and we can go right to God the Father now through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can go right, we can listen to the voice of Jesus when we read a King James Bible. And don't let anybody tell you any different because if they do, they're a Nicolaitan. And it's satanic, and they don't know what they're talking about. They're blind leaders of the blind, and the Lord says if you find follow a blind person, he's going to walk and eventually end in the ditch, and you'll follow him right into the ditch. And the Bible talks about people being wise in their own conceit. You know where the Bible correctors get their information? They get it from Westcott and Hort. Westcott and Hort were founders of the New Age movement. Why don't you look that up in the encyclopedia or whatever you have and see? And they're getting their information to correct the Holy Bible. Then you say, well, where did it come from? It came from the churches, the New Testament churches, and they had the Word of God. Somebody says, well, this scripture verse wasn't in the originals. They don't have the originals, but the text that has come down to us was found in the churches. The Bible says the true churches are the pillar and ground of the truth. Pillar and ground is what upholds the building, so it upholds the truth, which is not the church, it's the Word of God. And so the true churches have always had it. I read a book recently and been reading. It's called Rome and the Bible by David Cloud. And he gives the history of it. The true church has always had the true text. And the Roman Church is constantly trying to destroy those people and get rid of the Word of God and say, listen to us rather than the Word of God. That's called Nicolaitanism. You can find it in another book called Hazardous Materials where all this stuff comes from. And I've noticed that the Nicolaitans, the whole idea is you listen to us and not listen to God's Word. They refuse to read books that tell the truth. There's hundreds of thousands of books that are written with documentary evidence to show the truth of the King James Bible. But I've noticed people won't even read them. They'll give them back to you. They refuse to read them. You could tell the way they're talking. Jesus said, light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And I want to tell you that all through the ages, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And this is found in three different Gospels. And in the Gospel of John, he said, I pray not for the world, but for those that thou hast given me out of the world, for I have given them the words that thou hast given me. He has given the whole world the words. And they have it in their languages. At Pentecost, the language was there given, and everyone heard them in his own language. And those languages, God preserved the words of the apostles. And they said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So the New Testament is based on the apostles. You know, they had Cassian's Diatessaron shows that they had the same text as the King James Bible. It was a harmony of the Gospels in 250. And then just recently, not too long ago, they found a Bible that had the same in Milan, Italy, Ambrosian Library. And it's in the Old Latin, which came out long before Jerome's text. And the Old Latin has the text behind the King James and has the same books that we have in the New Testament. And they found it. And this goes back to the last part of the second century. And so God has given us his words. And today there's hundreds of Bibles in Europe, in museums all over the world, that back up the text behind the King James Bible. But unfortunately, in so many Bible institutes today and so many colleges, they're listening to the New Age teachings of Westcott and Hort that teach that the true text comes from photographs the Pope gave the world. No, the true text came from the earliest New Testament manuscripts that have come down to us, and we have it today. And the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The Bible says the word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth, even the word of faith which we preach. So we have the word of God in our heart and in our mouth. And James says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. We can look at it, and it's perfect. The King James Bible is the perfect law of liberty. It gives us liberty because it tells us that Jesus has paid for all of our sins, and we can trust in that. And we can trust in him. You know, if you have any kind of a habit, any kind of a bondage in your life that you can't get rid of, you tell Jesus, you go to God and you say, Lord God, I trust that you died for my sins. I yield myself to you this day. I ask you victory over whatever problem, whatever habit, whatever sin I have. And you know, Jesus said he came to save his people from their sins. And he will break that bondage that you have. And he will forgive you of your sins. And the Bible tells you that you will meet him in joy. It says he will confirm you blameless unto the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. The Bible says he that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit of God, he said, he would lead the apostles into all truth, but then he said he would abide with us forever, and he would guide us into all truth. So today, when we are reading our King James Bible, we are reading all truth. And, you know, when you send some young person to a Bible institute, you better find out if they believe that they have the Word of God today. If they say it's just in the originals, that's nonsense. There's no place in the Bible where God ever appeals to the originals. Of course, the originals were given were true. But a lot of these places, they don't even believe the originals were true. And Dallas, they have a teacher there, Dallas, and I think it was Metzger, and he says that the apostles had errors in it when they wrote it, see? So, and that is a feeding ground to a lot of Bible institutes because they come out of there and teach their corruption. They're false teachers. You know, Jesus says, the Bible says, By good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. And that is, they'll talk nice, and they'll talk good things, and then they will try to convince you that you don't even have a Bible today. But the Bible says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. And so when Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out, thank God he means it. And we can base our life, we can base our hope, and we can start this new year with joy, knowing Jesus is not never leave you nor forsake you, and he will be with us forever. He will forgive us our sins. He said he came to save his people from their sin, and that is not only from the power of sin, but from the penalty of sin also. And that's what the Word of God teaches. And man is trying to tell you all the time they have their theories about religion. I was reading some paper they were talking about, some guy, and he said, oh, he's a great theologian. Well, he's just a great braggart. Because if they don't agree with the Word of God, it's just their opinion. It's like somebody says, it's like monkey tails. Every monkey has one. And these guys that profess to be wise, they became fools, the Bible says, and change the glory of God to an image like unto corruptible man. They make a Jesus out like themselves. But our Jesus is Almighty God, and his blood has the power to give us victory over any sin and wash all our sins away, and we will meet God in total joy. It says he's able to keep you from falling, present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That means wonderful joy, great joy. And we have a taste of that even now in this life, because when we're reading the promises of God, they're so wonderful and so tremendous that we can rejoice. And the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So as we go into this new year, it says, rejoice in the Lord, and let everyone know that the Lord is at hand, and he is there to help us. He is there to save us. He is there to give us eternal life, and we can thank him for it. Well, it's so good to talk to you today, and so I hope that you have a wonderful and tremendous new year with Jesus. If you don't know him, just say, Lord Jesus, forgive my sins and come into my heart, into my life. I believe you're the Son of God who died for my sins and rose from the dead. Forgive me, and I repent, and I'm willing to obey and trust you forever. And he will be with you forever, and he will fill your heart with peace and joy and give you strength over any addiction, anything that you have. Well, you have a good, great new year, and thank God today for Jesus. Amen.
Well, thank you, Bruce, for that timely teaching on the church in Pergamos in Revelation chapter 2. And if you'd like to listen to this again sometime, please log on to the website whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com, and you can listen to these messages and more all at whereisgodsword.com. And, well, we're starting a new year, and we've got an extra special treat for you here. I was able to find a song where Bruce was singing long ago. This is from about 2.5 years ago, I think it is, and almost 3 years ago now. And I hope it'll be enjoyable for you and to give you something to think about as we go into 2020 together. Thanks for listening, and be sure and join us again next week as well. God bless.
There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing, a sin left and forgiven. My name was at the top with many things below. But I went unto the keeper and settled it long ago, long ago. Long ago.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. To learn more on this topic and to contact Bruce, visit his website at whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. That's whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. There you will find a vast array of resources on this topic, including copies of previous programs, articles by Bruce, and links to other recommended materials. Bruce is also available to speak to your church or organization. Again, that web address is whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the faithful listeners in this area.